Thank you for your leading in the past. Amen. So we're looking forward to your continued lead in the future.
Amen.
Thank you for the church in New York City.
Amen.
Oh Lord, thank you for the move in the recovery.
Amen.
Thank you for the move in your heart desire.
Amen.
So we give ourselves to you.
Amen.
Consecrate ourselves to you, Lord.
Amen.
Oh Lord, give the fellowship to you.
Amen.
Oh, you speak us to the timely word.
Amen.
Infuse your burden to us, Lord.
Amen.
So we can be in the same actions.
Amen.
Burden.
Amen.
This is turned on. Together with you.
Amen.
We want.
Lord, we give ourselves to you.
We want both.
We thank you that we can.
Yeah, this is for the volume, and this is for the recording.
Lord, anoint our ears.
Amen.
We pray that you would use this fellowship for the advancement and the enlargement of your move.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Bless the speaking and bless this time.
Amen.
Amen.
This is the
Lord Jesus.
Just be on the table.
Yes.
Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this time.
Amen.
Lord, we bless this time very much.
Amen.
Amen. You would advance and enlarge in each one of us.
Amen.
And also do this in the whole church.
Amen.
We can be here.
Amen.
We take you as our head.
Amen.
Speak and perfect us.
Amen.
Lord, we just like to be at your feet this morning.
Amen.
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 Lord, thank you for your leading us.
Amen.
Lord, anoint our time.
Amen.
Anoint your burden into us.
Amen.
Oh, we open to you.
Amen.
Oh, like to be one with you.
Amen.
Thank you for what you have done.
Amen.
Thank you are still doing.
Amen.
Taking the church on.
Amen.
Advancing and enlarging.
Amen.
Oh, we want to be one with you.
Amen.
With one accord.
Amen.
To respond to you.
Amen.
To cooperate with you.
Amen.
Oh, to cover us with your blood.
Amen.
Anoint our time richly.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for the church here.
Amen.
Thank you for establishing your lampstand here for so many years.
Amen.
We pray for the going on.
Amen.
For the enlargement and the advancement.
Amen.
We pray for our fellowship this morning.
Amen.
This would be so helpful.
Amen.
Oh, you would cover us.
Amen.
Cover us in our pursuit in the coming years.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we love you.
We love you.
That you would anoint this time.
Amen.
Anoint our fellowship together.
Amen.
Lord, and burden us more.
Amen.
We would have the foresight.
Amen.
We would have the thoughtfulness.
Amen.
All of the areas of our service.
Amen.
Especially in this area of service.
Amen.
We look to you.
Amen.
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 Lord Jesus.
Amen. Right, we pray about what we will cover.
Amen.
The fellowship.
Amen.
Strengthening.
Amen.
The church life here.
Amen.
With your testimony.
Amen.
Lay a good foundation.
Amen.
Leaving no ground for the enemy.
Amen.
So that you can go on in a strong way.
Amen.
For your own purpose.
Amen.
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 Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, maybe we'll start.
Yeah.
I don't believe we have ever had such a time like this. That is to a fellowship on the managing of the finance of the church. And as I was preparing for this, and I felt, well, actually we brothers had some fellowship. We thought this is really a very important aspect of the passing on the baton. During this year, this is a very important legacy that the Lord has led us during the last 40 years. Mm-hmm. And we feel it's very important for us to share this with you, brothers. So I call this the fellowship on managing the church's finances. Now, of course, this matter of the finance, this word finance, you don't find it in the Bible. I don't think so. I think the closest word is economy. Okay, mm-hmm. It's all economia. So I think before we start, I'd like to read two verses with you. So Dennis, maybe you can read with us, read for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2.
1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. A man should account us in this way, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Here, furthermore, it is sought in stewards that one be found faithful.
In these two verses, Paul mentioned a man should account us in this way as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Here, furthermore, it is sought in stewards that one be found faithful. Okay. Now, we all serve together, brothers, right? We all serve together, so we're all servants of Christ. Mm-hmm. But here Paul introduced this term, we're stewards of the mystery of God. Mm-hmm. I would say stewards of the mystery of God is really very fitting for our burden here. We are here certainly for the mystery of God and the mystery of Christ. That is Christ and the church, right? And we are stewards of this mystery. And then he went on to say in verse 2, here, furthermore, it is sought in stewards that one be found faithful. So what I want to call this is that our serving together is the aspiration to be faithful stewards.
Right.
Okay. Now this faithful stewards, this word, actually stewards, is really a very meaningful word. If you look at this word, it is oikonomos.
Right.
It's oikonomos, means, of course, it is the one who serves in the house. Okay. Yeah. Serves in the house. In the church life, we share so much about oikonomia, God's economy. And so practically, actually, in the church life, what we serve, not only we serve, we are the stewards of the mystery. Stewards of the mystery, that is what we share, right? We usually share the economy of God. We share the Christ and the church, the mystery of God and mystery of Christ. And but not only we share this way, but we also, furthermore, we are the faithful stewards. This to me, you know, brothers, I feel 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2 speaks of both aspects. Our service spiritually, or you might say in speaking, in sharing, and our service in practical matters. Now, when the Lord touched me with these two verses about this morning's sharing, I actually thought it was really quite wonderful. Maybe we were getting to 1 Corinthians after the book of Romans, I'm not sure. The other day we were talking about this. This is actually very meaningful, you know. Yeah. We know that the book of 1 Corinthians is a book on all the problems in the church in Corinth, right? And Paul first talked about the matter of division in the beginning. But before, now this is a very interesting matter, but I'm not going to expound on this, but I leave it with you and you think about it. Actually, before Paul mentioned about all the other practical problems, he talked about let people account us as faithful stewards.
Amen.
Now, if in the church, whether in Corinth or anywhere else, if there are those who serve both as the stewards of the mysteries of God, as well as they are faithful servants, faithful stewards, then I believe they can face all the problems they're going to face. Okay? So I mentioned this because I think this is somewhat related to our history. And as I was preparing this, See, I'm going to use some transparencies. I thought it is the fellowship on managing the finances of the church, the faithful stewards, 1 Corinthians 4, 1 to 2, or Economos. And I want to add these two. I hope that we will see it is an honor to serve, but not a privilege to abuse. And you will see, okay. Now, this is a very interesting matter. See, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the history. You know, among us, in our history, actually a very familiar place, I mean, at least to the older ones, is Honor Oak. You know, Honor Oak is a place in London, or I should say this is the place where Brother Austin Sparks used to serve. Right. And among us, some of the brothers earlier on, they all have been there. That was considered one of the most spiritual centers in Europe. And but this place is called Honor Oak. It is very interesting because I want to use this word honor. Actually, that place itself is called Honor Oak Christian Fellowship Center. Okay, now, and we don't talk about this too much now. I'm going to say a little bit about the name, because this is related to our incorporation.
Right.
And when I describe to you the history, when I talk about the decades of growing pain number in the 70s, this name, Christian Fellowship Center, has been attacked very strongly, and I'm going to touch on that a little bit. But let me first start not with that. I want to start with this place called Honor Oak. You know, Honor Oak, Isaac has been in London for a long time. I mean, there are others in London. You know, London is notorious for its terrible weather, because for some reason, because of its geographic place and so on, it often has sudden thunderstorms. And I was caught once there. It was terrible. I mean, it was without warning, just comes. And not only that, when the thunderstorm comes, they often, the thunders come. And so, according to legend, the Honor Oak is such a place that once Queen Victoria was, on her, one of her trips, and the sudden thunderstorm came, and so Queen Victoria, in order to find a shelter of the thunderstorm, so she came under this huge oak tree. And so this oak tree provided her the shelter, so she was able to be protected from the thunderstorm. So therefore, afterwards, she called this place Honor Oak.
Wow.
Okay? Because this place had the honor to provide protection for the sovereign. Okay? So it's called the Honor Oak. And I think this is not my original idea. This was one of the older brothers once was sharing about serving. He said, we all need to have a realization. It is our honor that we can serve in the church, which I think is a very good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, we are not just serving Queen Victoria, but we're serving the King of Kings and Queen of Queens. I mean, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, right? Yeah. So therefore, I think this, we have to consider it is an honor to serve, but it is not a privilege to abuse. Okay. Now I'm going to say something about how the Lord has led us. So, I mean, of course, we are called to serve in the church. The church is, I put down four things here. The church is the house of God, and the church is the body of Christ. The church is not an organization. The church is not an employer. Now, the reason I bring this up is because of this fellowship here. You know, actually this morning that we have asked, we brothers plus the full-time serving brothers, plus, let me say this, we have asked all those brothers who in these years had assisted us, assisted the brothers here, to carry out the day-to-day managing of the finance of the church life here. And you know, this is like in Acts chapter 6, when the number increase and the need increase. So apostle said to the disciples, said, it is not fitting for us to leave, forsake the word of God to serve tables. Okay, choose among you seven well tested, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, that we may appoint them to do these things. And subsequently, these brothers start to carry the day to day nitty gritty for the brothers, so that they can concentrate to share. And I think that's pretty much our feeling, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, these brothers who served faithfully, including Brother Andar on the board, including William as the treasurer, and including Timothy Chang and Steve Chu as the former treasurer, and those brothers who have labored hours to audit the books every year. A number of brothers are here, Dick and others, okay. I mean, those of you are here, that's why. And then, plus some of the brothers that have been since 2003, since the meeting hall in Manhattan started, and then since 2010, when we started to meet in Flushing, and 2 years ago, since we started Brooklyn. So we also have invited a few brothers to join, and those who are in Queens, in other services are involved. So therefore, you know, this is, you are the brothers, you are the faithful stewards. Okay, you are the faithful stewards, and we serve in the house of God. You know, this house, I wrote it down, is oikos. Okay, the stewards is to serve, not on the airplane, not on the cruise ship, but in the house of God. And it is quite wonderful, and particularly this service is related to people, because if you look at the recovery version, 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul said, if I delay, you should know how should you conduct yourselves. Now, please notice this. This is really very interesting. He said, you should know how you should conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and base of the truth. Now, if you look at the footnote, actually said, you should know how you should conduct yourself in the household of God. You know, this word oikos, well, of course, it's the first part of the word economy. This word oikos sometimes is translating the house, but sometimes it's translating the household. For example, in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, when Paul spoke to that jailer, believe in the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved, you and your household. Oikos. Okay. So this, to be faithful stewards, is to not just serve the house, but to serve the household. Serve the folks in the house. Okay. And then, of course, the church is the body of Christ. But the church is not an organization. You say, well, James, why do you want to say that? Yes, it is very important, as you will see, because the yes, the church, of course, is an organism. It's organic matter. It's not an organization. But organization has some very important things, because it has certain built-in safeguards and guidelines to protect from the abuse, you understand? Because whenever there is a kind of a human organization, whenever there is the honor to serve, there is also the danger of the privilege to abuse. And you know, just within our lifetime, in the last few decades, you can see the organized Christianity. Yes, of course, the organized Christianity, they are organized, they are religious, and so on. Those are not right. That's right. But the organization itself has certain basic guidelines which protects from people's abuse. And you can see, actually, since the Second World War, all the free groups, without any organizational control, they're the ones that have the worst abuse. Okay, so and I want to bring this up. It's very important. So don't say, "Well, to say it's not an organization." Well, of course, it's not an organization. Yes, but organization. We are not an organization, but we must realize, without the organizational control, we must be extra watchful and diligent. Okay. Now, this is very important because I think. Okay. Now, the church is not an employer, because we care for the needs of the households of the folks in the church. So therefore, it's very easy to sometimes people think that this one needs a job. We're just fellowshipping about this. That one needs a job. So the church just be an employer, hire this, hire that. But you don't realize actually there are lots of complications, because the paperwork, because what is required by the law, and so on. I don't have time to get into that today, but anyway, I just want to put it down here to as a point. But I mean, later, if we want to have some fellowship, we can do that. Okay, so because of that, okay, church is a house of God, is a body of Christ, of course, is a spiritual entity, but we are living in this society. Therefore, okay, so it's very important the church is incorporated according to the laws of the land in order to hold properties. Now, this is very important because I have mentioned this before, but let me just mention it again. The church here was incorporated in December of 1958. And then the exemption status, this incorporation is with the state of New York. Mm-hmm. With the state of New York. And our exemption status by the Internal Revenue Service was granted in June of 1959. Now, I mention these two dates is because these dates are before we brothers came here. I didn't come here until this November of 1959, so all these things happened before I came. But now this is very important, because I mentioned about that Christian Fellowship Center matter. Because, you see, at that time, in 1958, December of 1958, there was a new beginning, a new start. And so the brothers here, those before, were before us, they realized the importance of incorporation. So, but when you incorporate, you need to have a name. So they seek fellowship. And I believe it was through the influence of Brother Sparks. So they suggested this name, Christian Fellowship Center, because I think at that time they thought this is general enough, and it's not too specific, and so on. But that has brought in a lot of problems, because by 1970, during the decades of growing pain, this has been attacked mercilessly, because we were here, because we know, we have even considered, let me tell you this, brothers, because we've considered very much, even to the extent whether we should reincorporate it, so and get rid of that name. And we realize you cannot do that, because once you're incorporated, if you de-incorporate, I don't know how you call it, when you want to do that, you cannot do it. So eventually, okay, it's a compromise, but it's not a compromise. Eventually, the bylaw of the corporation was revised to add this AKA, the AKA, also known as the Church in New York City. But you see, even that, I mean, we brothers are somewhat involved. We're younger, the older ones are, we have started this. And so later on, even this AKA, which one is first? And then there is a question whether the Christian Fellowship Center has an ink or not ink. That's another issue, and so on. But this morning, I'm not going to get into that. But anyway, the reason is, in order for us to hold property, we has, we have to be incorporated, and we have to grant, I mean, we have to be granted with the exemption status. Now, this has ramifications because it has very serious tax implications, because if we are not tax exemption status, if we are not tax exempted organizations, I mean, so far as the eyes of the government, we are tax-exempted organizations, then all our properties will be taxed. Can you imagine our property in Manhattan and our meeting hall here? All the properties will be heavily taxed. But because of we are tax-exempt, therefore, therefore we should be extra careful not to jeopardize that, okay? So, and then the incorporation has bylaws with qualifications, with broad guidelines. I mention this every time, every year we have the annual meeting. Brother Ed always read those guidelines. Right. And those are, you see, why do you do that? Well, we have to do it because we are living in this land. We are under the boundaries of the law of this land, okay? And then even this matter, we just recently found out that when somebody came to wanting to buy the Manhattan Hall, of course now that matter has been now being stopped. I mean, and that, because they have withdrew it because they have some questions. And then we found out the state, New York State Attorney General's office, must approve sales of nonprofit organization properties in order to protect membership, okay? But so even was in that we found out. We can buy properties without getting Attorney General's office approval. But if we want to sell, they want to make sure all the membership which was required, which was included in the bylaw, are they protected, okay? So you can see there are these legal matters. I want to mention it to you is because we live in this country and these are required by the law. Okay, now, all right, now, okay. So, but I say this is because the church, because it's not an organization, it's not an employer, but it is the house of God and the member and the body of Christ. So therefore church does not follow tradition. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's very easy to say, well, of course you don't follow tradition. Whom do you follow, right? Because we do not belong to any organization, but we must learn from history. Okay, now this point I think is very important, because when we started doing this, you know, even when we tried to get some advice from, for example, Christian Fellowship Center, actually got into a lot of trouble. And so we realized everything that we do, well, of course we have to pray, of course we have to go to the Bible, but we also have to learn from the history. Because history, particularly the church history, there is a reason why certain practice started. But some didn't turn out to be right because it becomes a tradition or becomes some dead letters and so on. So therefore, okay, so now I want to bring this up because a very important thing is the support of the serving ones. Okay, the support, I mean, this is something very practical. You have to think about this. Okay, now the support of the serving ones, including earlier on, it is priesthood. And then there are these sacred class, you know, those special class, or you might call clergy. But among us, they're the full-timers. Okay, now brothers, you have to see, of course, in principle, you can say we're all full-timers. Yeah, of course we're all full-timers. Just like when the children of Israel, when God first bring them out from Egypt to the good land, God wanted them all. They are a nation of priests. I mean, you heard those messages, right, recently. But of course, because their failure at the Mount Sinai, so therefore the priesthood went to the tribe of Levi. So, but even though they went to the tribe of Levi, when they get into the good land, all the other 11 tribes, they got their land, but Levites need to be supported, right? So how do you support the Levites, the priesthood? And of course, must based on the principle of faith, trusting God. In the Old Testament time, it is very true. It was carried out. I mean, God provided the way for their support. Okay, there's no question about. But the point is that throughout the church history, how was that done? Okay, now I'm not saying that we follow that. Okay, actually, if you look at the church history, most of those were the serving class, I would say, priesthood or sacred class, clergy, and so on. They usually, in principle, they require them, not every group, but by and large, they do this. They have to take some vows. As for them to enter into the service, they have to take these three vows. One is the vow of poverty. One is the vow of celibacy, which is not marrying, and one is the vow of obedience. Now, this, of course, you can see. Now, if we use our understanding today, it is to deal with the corrupt nature of the human, of the fallen human beings. And you might say this is really mainly dealing with the soul. Really, they need the salvation of the soul, and they need the salvation of the soul to deal with their mind, with their emotion, with their will. Okay, so you can see that, and vow of poverty, they're willing not to for making money, and because you see here, because they have the privilege, this is to protect them from privilege to abuse. Okay, and the celibacy is something very interesting. You know, the celibacy is this way. Because at that time, during the feudal age, everything is by generational succession. You know, in a feudal society, the entitlement, the titles, and the positions is passed from one generation to another. And so those who serve, they want to get away from that. Okay? So therefore, the celibacy, by not having allow them to marry, controls their lust and controls their any human relationship that they can pass from one generation to another. So this also, if I use more modern day term, is the conflict of interest question. Okay, but even today you can see there's so many groups, they just one generation pass on to another generation. Okay, I mean, so in some way they all violated this vow of celibacy. And you know, the popes, they mean the Catholic, this apostolic succession, they actually forbid them to get married, but still, you know, there are other problems. So, and then there is the vow of obedience. So this is, how do we learn from the history? We're not following tradition, but how do we learn from history? The point is that we cannot say that because of that, you know, we don't do this, we don't require anybody serve, they must take these three vows. But the church has certain responsibilities. Okay, now, what I want to point out to you before we get into more nitty-gritty, and I wanted to mention to you, this is how we felt, actually partly is for those brothers who went before us, and also, and I think we brothers have sort of felt, this is what we need to continue, because we brothers, we all have our jobs, you all know that, we worked all our lives, and so on. So, in the way, it was upon us to carry on this. So the responsibility of the church toward the full-time serving ones. I must tell you this first, okay? Mm-hmm. And actually, in dealing with these three vows, we don't require anybody who wants to serve full-time, they have to take those vows. Mm-hmm. But we must take care of those areas. Mm-hmm. So we need to take care of them in this way. We must cover, this is important, we must cover and protect them without requiring vows, but watching with them, because we serve together. Mm-hmm. For from conflict of interest and nepotism. Okay, the conflict of interest and nepotism, this actually covers the poverty and the celibacy question. Okay. We don't spell in those terms, but we feel that we need to, meaning those who are serving full-time, actually, I know, we're all serving full-time, I know that, but there are those who with the job, those who without a job, and the support of the church is something which we must, I mean, it's practical. You cannot say, well, may God bless you, that God will send a raven to carry a piece of meat for you. No, you don't do that. Because, you understand my point? I mean, later on we'll come to that, okay? And I feel that we must, you see, because this is how the Lord has led us, and I believe the Lord has honored it, that to have such an attitude and have such a responsibility toward those who have a desire to serve. And the second and the other aspect is must support their basic need adequately so that can focus on serving. Okay. Now I use this is because there are changing times, there are situations. It must be. Now, because we brothers, we are going to pass on from the scene. So that's why we ask you brothers to be the faithful stewards to carry on. Because there will be not only these ones who are serving, but also the next younger generations that are coming up and so on and so forth. Okay, now. All right. Now, I think this is sort of, in general, I have shared. Now, I'm going to talk about two matters. One is the receiving, and one is the dispersing. Because, I mean, we're talking about very practical matters, and so the we receive resources. Okay, we receive resources. And I think that we brothers have practiced this these years, so we want to pass this on to you. Which, I mean, those of you who will be serving with us, you know how our practice has been. First, of course, we pray. I mean, we pray. And we look to the triune God. I want to tell you this. This is not a kind of a terminology. You know, we say the triune God created the tripartite man to fulfill his purpose. That's right. That is perfectly right. But, you know, it is very practical. It is absolutely very practical. When we say this, so we do mean it. Meaning that when we pray, we look to the triune God and we trust the Father is a source. Of course, you know, we really sing that hymn, right? Father is the source. Mm-hmm. And the Son is the course. Yes, the Lord Jesus is the one that provides. And the Spirit moves among the saints. And I think this is certainly very true. Today, I actually want to put all these things that we've talked about on some very practical terms, okay? So, therefore, okay, when we look to pray to the Father, I mean, to the triune God, trust the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, the Lord Jesus, and the Spirit. And then we'll share the burden with the saints. Okay. This, of course, is that we first receive the burden, I mean, you know, from the Lord, we trust Him, and then we share this burden with the saints. In doing so, these are the things that we do not follow tradition. Okay. Now, I must tell you, and we have not been. And I think it's extremely important because of this legacy the Lord has led us. Now, we do not soliciting. We do not soliciting. In other words, if we really believe God, that the Father is the source, the Lord Jesus provides, and the Spirit will move among the saints, we share this with the saints, and then we trust. Then we trust. We don't go somewhere else. See, please help us. I mean, that is completely contradicting to what we say that we trust the Father, right? I mean, we trust the triune God. We don't, no begging. I mean, you know, I'm very careful not to be facetious because there are people, you know where to go to ask for money and so on. And I must tell you, we have never done that. And I believe the Lord has honored it, regardless the burden, regardless the need. Okay. Not only that, and I use this new pew selling. No pew selling. You know, when they were building these edifices in Europe and so on, they were first trying to sell their real estate. Say, now you can buy some front row pews for how much money, how many gold or silver or whatever. Then that chair is yours. That chair is yours. Mm-hmm. Now, those are called pew selling. Okay, they sell pews. Now, of course, you say, "Well, James, they don't do it now." But anyway, any privilege peddled is like that. But even today, you know, you can go to those libraries. I know some of the libraries, they sell bricks. You know, they sell bricks. I mean, we don't do any of that. Because if we believe the providing is from the triune God, then we don't need to do any of it. And not only that, promise made. And, you know, if you give and, we give you such promise. And then no pledges promoted. You know, there are so many places, they always like to figure, you know, how many. I mean, they beg for, well, I mean, so you brothers all know that we here, we never even mention about the tithing. We never mention about how much you are making, you have to pledge, and how much people make false promises. If you give, God will bless you, and so on and so forth. All that kind of stuff. You know, we never do that. Because that is absolutely violating our trust in God. Okay, so I just want to mention this, and I believe that, in our practice, we are transparent. We were, and we've always been transparent. And not only the annual meetings, not only that everything is open, but we also try to keep the saints up to date. And our practice is realistic. Of course we know God can provide everything, but we don't make those unrealistic promises like some. I mean, those examples are too poor and so on. And then also anticipatory. Now, the anticipatory is that our faith is always small, and sometimes it needs to be experiencing what God can do, and then our faith can be strengthened. So anyway, and I think that we also have learned how the Lord has enlarged us. And in fact, this year we say this is a year of enlargement and advancing. And it is because we anticipate God is going to do that. So now, for any major projects, okay, I want to say a little bit about the major projects, because when we, as we look back, we first had the small meeting hall, then in 1984 we built, enlarged this hall, going through many, many situations, and then we have the Manhattan Hall, and we were always thinking about how we can enlarge the use of it and make more use of it, and then now with the new meetings in Flushing, in Brooklyn, we are anticipating to have more meeting halls, and I think these are the major projects. So I think it's important for me to put down a few things here, okay? And I think this is helpful through our what the Lord has led us through. Before this major project, we have to have thorough and realistic preparations. Now, for example, that when we were in Queens, when we first enlarged this meeting hall, we were looking for all over the city, looking for a larger piece of property, and so on. But eventually, you know, how the Lord has led us. And they were very thorough and very realistic, and also professional help in plan, budget, and contingency. Now, I want to mention this is because we have learned the false economy is not the way. Okay, now let me describe to you what is false economy. You say, well, because, you know, in the Lord's recovery, there are many churches, there are many talents, so why do you have to get outside architect and so on? I don't want to go through this with you, because there would be it'd be very tempting for me to be very cynical about it, because there are many examples I can say that because in order to save some money and try to get some outside help, and eventually spend more money and did not work. Because let me give you very simple examples. For example, the design of this enlarged meeting hall, we hired an architect And of course, the architect, he's familiar with the building code in the city. He knows how to deal with the union situation. I mean, you know, you cannot say, oh, we have so-and-so is an architect. He's not familiar with the rules and the guidelines here. And so saves a few dollars, but eventually got into a lot of trouble and delay and so on. Okay, and not only that, you cannot say, well, you know, they are so-and-so is a contractor, get him to come. But he does not know the practices here, the union situations, you know, how they would not cross the picket lines and so on and so forth. And the delay is unbelievable. And I know that even so you say, oh, get some young people. You get some young people to come. I mean, you have to pay for their airline tickets, and you have to made up for all the mistakes that they made. And you know, there are places, I don't want to describe to you, that is not a single place is not being built more than once. In other words, the first time didn't work and they have to take it apart. And eventually we add up everything plus the time delay, I think it costs a lot more. Then you find a professional, get a plan, get approved, get through the proper channel, and including the contingencies, worked out okay. Okay, so I think because I want to tell you this because of the we hope there are many, many more meeting halls raised up in the city. Okay, and I think New York is a very special situation, and even the COs, okay, with the Manhattan CO, where you know how that has limited us. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, let me point out, is that because of the what grandfathered in things in the old building, in the existing building, so if you want to have any new improvement in the new plans, that the grandfathered in thing need to be revisited. For example, about, because I'm aware of this, for example, the handicap requirement. Now I cannot go to the Manhattan Hall because we don't have a ramp, we don't have, okay. And so you can see these things that need to be considered, okay. And then during the plan, and I'm going to talk about this point a little bit later, during the plan you need to keep the Saints up to date. I mean, we must be transparent and keep the Saints up to date in order for them to pray. You remember how we built this house, built this meeting hall, and how we prayed, and when our prayers sort of relax a little bit, there are new problems, yeah. Right? You all remember that. Yeah. So we need to not taking anything for granted, and then, of course, we do not neglect the upkeep and the maintenance. I mean, you know, these things, I mean, you brothers, many of you are directly involved, so, all right. Now, dispersing. Now, because the point is that, you see, I mentioned this earlier because later on when we brothers pass on the scene, it rely on you brothers, meaning those who are not full-time workers. You need to cover and protect those who serve. Okay, that is why I give you so much details. In the dispersing, we must pray to faithfully carry out the entrusted responsibilities. And I believe we have done that by the Lord's mercy. And the principle is to, okay, the principle is to carry out our vision, Christ and the church. Now the Christ and the church is the house of God, the household of God, meaning the saints. Really, all that we do is really for the testimony of Christ and the going on of the saints, or build up of the body of Christ, you might say, right? So, but we have to do so within the boundaries of the law of the land. This is extremely important, and I want to mention this again. We must be such a testimony, you know, we must be such a testimony in this. So therefore, we need to pay meticulous attention to the conflict of interest and any suspicion of nepotism. I mean, you know, we cannot allow the kind of human natural relationship to come in. Now, you can see, even when we fellowship about the line of Antioch, how Barnabas suffered that because of his natural relationship with Mark, John Mark, right? So we must pay meticulous attention of the conflict of interest and any suspicion. That's why I believe the working saints, the non full-time workers, need to serve as a covering and a protection for those who serve. Okay, and now I'm going to come down. I said not rubber stamping, the full-timers' request. Must ask, where does loyalty lie? Okay, now this point is very, very important. You don't realize, because of our practice, I was able to say our history parallels that of the Lord's recovery. And what we practice complements what was done. I think very few people can say that. Because the commitment and the loyalty must be to the church here first. Okay, so therefore, you see, the full-timer worker here is not, none are sent from the work. In many places, actually the full-timer worker is sent from the work. So therefore, their loyalty and their commitment is to the work first. But dear brothers and sisters, we must see the burden here. We are here for Christ and the church. Okay, so therefore, not rubber stamping, but you understand my point. All these years, our testimony here is never try to roadblock and try to prevent or hinder, but we don't rubber stamp things. We always must see the benefit because the burden is for Christ and the church. Right? And always be mindful not to do anything to jeopardize the exemption status of the church. I mentioned that because there are serious implications. And not only to keep all the laws, even ethically, morally, and spiritually, above reproach. And I think the testimony of the church here has been that. Okay. Now, there are a couple of things I want to mention. In the dispersing, of course, there are special designations. And the special designations, we must carry out the wishes of the giver expeditiously, even increase amount based on need. I know there are sometimes, because the church is, the number of saints is large, so there are many situations that need special care. Some saints have some burden, want to take care of it, and it's very good. So they put in a special designation, which we would carry out expeditiously. We don't want to delay it, but sometimes they would also share with us, or will share with you, that what the need is may be greater than the person can take care of, and so the church can enter in more. So these special situations, I think we must try to do it very expeditiously. On the general ongoing expenses, well, of course, I mean, there are many things that are general guidelines established to follow principles based, and not to set precedent lightly. I think this is very important, you know, because the situation changed, the number of people changed, people's situation changed. So therefore, sometimes there are special need. And but we must deal with the situation case by case, and not to set precedent too quickly. Because once you set the precedent, to carry it out, you usually just follow it. So to set precedent is a serious thing. So I just want to mention this point. And then special emergency need, we need to share with the saints. And then the long-term burden, we need to have periodic reviews to see its relevance. Now, for example, many years ago, during the first Gulf War, there were some saints care about the burden for the gospel there. And so there were some special designations, and there were other saints who enter in, but now the situation has changed. So we should see how it's relevant, how it should be more, can be applied more relevantly. Okay, so, but I'm just mentioning this as a kind of a general principle. And then we should have, I mean, the matter of transparency, I don't think we can emphasize enough. I believe these years, the brothers, we have enjoyed tremendous trust and goodwill from the saints. It's because I believe it's our transparency. And the saints know that, we are open to them and keep them up to date. So annual or periodic auditing, this we have. Every year we have the auditing of accounts to protect all those who serve and to keep burden up to date for all the saints. I think this is very important because this is to protect those who serve, to protect those who manage, okay, those who carry on these day-to-day disbursement of the funds in the church. I think so. We need to protect them for any kind of a attack or any kind of a smearing or anything, because we do have periodic auditing and checking. Okay, and then okay, be mindful of changing times. Okay, I'm sorry, I have to use this somewhat personally, because I'm very much aware, I mean, I'm meticulously careful about the conflict of interest, okay? Because, now for example, this aging population, the need of single living elderly saints, living saints, the special need of single parent families, the increasing influence of the social welfare mentality, especially among the young ones and the new ones. Now, I mentioned this, the aging population, the need of single living elderly saints. I was very hesitating in the past to mention about my own situation, because I'm alone and I'm in this kind of a situation. But now I can tell you that I can say this without any conflict of interest. I don't normally like to do that, because my condition has been fully taken care of. Okay, I want to tell you. So I say this without any kind of a, because I can tell you my condition has been rectified or being recognized by the government, saying it was work related. So therefore, I have a, I can tell you, this is very rare, I have a no copay, all expenses covered medical coverage, okay? And not only that, I even have this impairment, compensation or so on, because so I'm more than adequately covered, and I will show you. So I can say this, take care of the older ones, okay? Not me. Don't have to worry about me. I'm perfectly fine, okay? But there is, because, and I'm going to mention something at the end, somewhat personal, because I feel we have so many dear saints. They are the faithful stewards most of their lives in the church here, and we want to show our appreciation to them. Okay, so but I come to that at the end. All right, now this is my last transparency. Somewhat, I think that maybe when they cut off, they could cut off either here or after this point. I want to give you the testimony for George Miller. Testimony for George Miller. Now, George Miller was a man greatly used by God during the 19th century. He was the one that, together, his contemporaries were Darby and Benjamin Newton and all those great teachers of the brethren in the 19th century. But he was very much used by God. But he was not involved in a lot of their bitter discussion and so on. But he's very noted for one thing. He is normally, if you go to the internet, you will probably find he's usually referred to as the George Miller of Bristol, I think. It's George Miller of Bristol. Okay, now, he's a wonderful man of God. And he had this particular burden at that time to take care of orphans. And he always cared for the orphans. I don't know why at that time. There were maybe Industrial Revolution. There are lots of people die young, so the children left without parents. So there were lots of orphans around, thousands. Not like now. Now there are very few in society. Well, their safety net covers it. So he actually started orphanages, okay? And he took care of thousands of, and he had such wonderful stories, and say how many prayers God answered. Mm-hmm. Somebody said, within his lifetime, George Mueller had 1 million prayers answered. There are such tremendous stories, you know. This story I always remember. Many of you probably heard, you know, once his orphanages, they ran out of food, completely out of food. Nothing. There was no bread, nothing. And breakfast time, so the cook came saying, well, you know, we don't have anything. What should we do? Call the children, ring the bell, ask them to come to the dining room. So they all came to the dining room. Nothing. It's all empty, right? And then so George Mueller said, well, ask them to start to pray. Ask them to start to pray. Oh, you all heard that, about that. The timing, absolutely incredible. And just as before the prayer finished, there was a delivery truck came, stopped at the door, right? And somebody had ordered a truckload of fresh baked bread. And for some reason, it was a mix-up. So he said, what should we do with all this extra bread? It's okay to send it to Mr. Mueller's orphanages. So it was sent there. After they finished prayer, the bread was there, okay? And you will have heard that, how God answered the prayers right to the moment. Now, but the point is this. The point is that George Mueller actually was a German. He's a German, even though he's called George Mueller of Bristol, he's German. So with this, how I should describe it, some of my Jewish friends like to describe it, this Germanic meticulous record keeping, okay? He's very, very careful. So that's why people can say his prayers, a million of his prayers were answered, okay? They must have very detailed. So they keep very good good records about what day, how much money, and so on. So they add up everything, and then they probably extrapolate. So they say, in his lifetime, a million prayers have been answered. What happened is this. What happened is that if you go to look at his record books, in his record books, there are many, many anonymous giver. And according to the time, according to the amount, the timing is critical, often in this very critical moment of need. And sometimes it's large amounts and just came in as if it's God's answer to prayer. At that moment, it just happened. And you know, later on people told us, those who know, in the know, that anonymous donor was George Mueller himself. He can say he trusts God, of course, and he had many, many experiences, a million prayer answered, but I don't know, maybe thousands of them. He was the one that answered the prayer. And I believe it should be noted, let me say this, I believe it should be noted that there were many anonymous donors through the half a century history here, and who knew the need, and at the critical moment, not only trusting the Lord, but be used by the Lord as the anonymous donors. And I don't know, we don't keep as good record as they do, but I believe if you count it, there are many such stories that how the Lord came in to meet our need at that critical moment. Mm-hmm. Now let me come back to that point. Without soliciting, without pew sailing, without string attached, without pledge promoted. It is because of these many faithful stewards in this country, in the church here. So, in the end, let me add this personal note. for the appreciation and remembrance of all the faithful stewards in the household of God here. I will propose this. Okay, now, you know, dear brothers, and you know, I, as I said at the beginning, I think this is the first time I ever shared this way. And I don't believe I will have another chance to share with you. But we have reached at such a point in our lives, and we feel we need to pass on this this legacy to you, not just those who serve full-time, but also especially those others who are faithful stewards. Okay, I'm not thinking so much on the 1 Corinthians 4 verse 1. I'm more thinking about this furthermore in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 2. Okay, and I can tell you, dear brothers and brothers, that I have spent 2/3 of my life here. The church here is more than my own family. And I can tell you this is fine. You know, I particularly since the last 2-3 years, I know that I don't know how many days I will have, so I want to take care of these matters. And most of the I'm leaving it to my family here. Okay, and I can tell you, I won't tell you all the details, but anyway, it'd be mostly for the saints here, mostly, and the various needs, and also for some saints out in other places. But I wanted to leave this as a token to appreciate, to show the appreciation of those who are faithful servants. So I'm going to do this. Now, originally, I was going to, I left this in my will, but anyway, my desire is, I hope that you will treat me, the church here will treat me as your family. When my Anna went away, you know, the token usually is this: when somebody passes on, and on the casket, there's a rose spread, and the rose spread usually comes from the closest person. Mm-hmm. I gave mine to Anna, and I know Brother Benjamin gave to his Phoebe, and but now neither Anna's here nor Phoebe's here. I mean, even though Benjamin has family, but I don't. Well, actually, my family will come, but I don't want them to come. I want to give that privilege to the church here. Okay, and because of that, I used a small part of my estate. I set aside $100,000. I wanted the church to do this in our, after we pass, we want the church to give us to dear brother Benjamin Ed James from all the saints in the church in New York City. Okay, and I want to have it sufficiently so that all those saints who have considered, actually I can think of a dozen or more, the church is just their family. Okay, and when their time comes, I want to do that. And originally I wanted to think, I thought maybe I would start this, activate this when one of us is passing on. But no, actually after, actually this morning I decided no, I actually wanted to activate that now. Okay, whoever comes, who's serving here, consider the church as their family, who is a faithful stewards who serve the household of God here. I want to appreciate and to remember them in such a way. Okay, so, but anyway, so I want to end this way. I hope that maybe at the end they can leave that part out. But anyway, I thought this is, to me, this is so fitting. I think it's very fitting. I think the management of the finance of the church here has been an honor and a privilege entrusted to us all these years. And I feel that this is the legacy. We did not learn from tradition or from anyone else, but rather, I think it was a unique, singular opportunity the Lord has given to us. And that we want to pass that on to you. That we all may continue to be. Actually, this, of course, I use 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. Those who serve as the stewards of the mysteries of God, as well as those faithful stewards serve in the household of God. And that, I think, is a wonderful privilege the Lord has accorded us during these years. So I thought I need to share this with you before we go. And I don't know if the other brothers would like to share something.
I do have something I want to share with you, especially since Brother James sit down, so I also want to sit down. I don't want to say that. But anyway, according to what he said, a number of things I feel I need to say something. Now, Brother James didn't mention this name, Christian Fellowship Center. Mm-hmm. And just like what he said in the 1970s, this is a big problem. And during those years, just because they use this word Christian Fellowship Center, then some other churches and some co-workers, they thought that we use Christian Fellowship Center as the name of the church here. We knew this is not the what we have in mind, but that misunderstanding was there for quite a long time. And but once, by the Lord's mercy, and by His, I don't know how, but anyway, all three of us, the Lord put us here, and to bear the responsibility here, and since, especially after Brother Kang left here, and so we brothers use all the time we try to gave a lot of messages on the church truth. So we believe that all these years that we really help all the saints here in New York to know what is the church. And then this is the foundation. Now, so, but believe it or not, not too long ago, in one of the co-workers' fellowship time, still a young, new brother, John S., still mentioned this Christian Fellowship Center. Because he mentioned that, then I have to stand up and told him and tell everybody else in that room that for anyone to think Christian Fellowship Center is the name of the church in New York City, but that shows this person really does not know what is the church. Mm-hmm. No, because in the Bible we know very clearly, church has no name. No church should have a name, regardless what name is. And the Bible shows us very clearly that the church is the Lord's church, and it's the church of the Lord, and no name in the Bible, only mention the name of that locality as the description of that church. No church has any name. So I think you all of you are very clear about this, right? And then that day, in order to help to get out of the misunderstanding, I just mentioned that I did not have bylaw on my hand. I just remembered this in my mind. I just tell them that in our bylaw, we made it very clear that
Christian Fellowship Center is the institution to handle the earthly businesses for the church in New York City. Mm-hmm. Are you clear?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So don't think Christian Fellowship Center is the name of the church in New York City. No. The church in New York City is the church in New York City.
Amen.
But because of all these requirements from the government, then in order to meet the requirement of the, now in New York is the state of New York City, they have, not city, New York State, they have their religious laws and other different other states have their religious laws. Yeah, so each city had different religious laws, and that our, since we are in New York, and therefore we have to do according to the law of the religious law of the city, no, of the state of New York. And so this is have to be very clear. So then, can you recite this? What is the Christian Fellowship Center? Christian Fellowship Center is the institution to handle the earthly businesses for the church in New York City. Okay,
right.
It's not the same thing. Okay, so. This, I hope from now on you will be very clear. And then the thing is, what I have a burden to share is that, you know, in the past, or even sometimes currently, many churches had some rich people supported them. Even with Brother Nee or with Brother Lee, and sometimes the people in the Philippines, and also in United States, they are churches have some rich people, and their finance is based on those few rich people to support them, and that's them. In New York, we don't have any rich people here. We don't have anyone support us. All the money we receive are from the offering of the saints here. So I hope that this is clear. Again, we don't have any rich people support us, and really, all the income is from the saints' offering. In other words, from the Lord. And because of this, what I try to impress with all of you who are related to the finance thing, we have to see that all the money we have here are the money, all the saints, they are working, they're working very diligently, and then from their working, and that they offer the money to the church here. Therefore, when we want to, or when we need to spend some money, we have to be very careful. I want to say something, because in the past I did saw certain situation that offended me very much. Sometimes I don't think what I'm saying implied to anyone of here, but in the past I did see certain ones who are using the church money, and they said, oh, this is the church money. You can spend. The church is rich, so don't buy the secondary something. So as if spend the money, because they are the church money, and that the church is rich, and you can spend your money, that don't don't have any, you never have any feeling or any realization that all this money is not somebody dropped to us. It's many work, many saints, they work very diligently and that they use their income to give to the church. We have to be very precious of these, of the money from the saints. Mm-hmm. And I really feel no one who spend the church money that you should have think, oh, the church is rich, so you can spend the money any way you want. No, that is a very bad attitude. Mm-hmm. So this is something I want to mention. We don't want to be cheap. On the other hand, you have to use the money the correctly, the rightly. Okay. Now, and also concerning the four-timers, mm-hmm. You all know we three brothers all have jobs for a long time. And also, actually, these three brothers, Ricky and Timothy and Dennis, they also had their jobs. It is not that they just out of a sudden become full-timers. It is at a certain time when the law, each one individually, at a certain time, the law had told us that now is the time for you to put down your job and give all your time to serve. To me, I was working for many, many years. I was a chemical engineer, and I worked for this company for 35 years. And my company really appreciated me very much. It gave me some special bonus. But at the time of 9-1-1, when 9-1-1 happened, you all know 9-1-1, and many people got killed. And you all know at that time, all these New Yorkers were shot. Then that's the best time for us to preach the gospel. Mm-hmm. Just at that time, I feel clearly the Lord spoke to me. Now's the time for you to quit your job, take early retirement, give your whole time to the Lord. Mm-hmm. So I did have a job, but then at the right time, the Lord called me to get rid of all the jobs, give my whole time for the Lord. And the other brothers, they all have different times. The Lord told them, now's the time for you to drop your work and to give your whole time. And these three brothers also did the same thing. And therefore, it is not whether we should have a job or we don't have a job. Just like whether we have a job, we're full-time. And whether we're not job, we're also full-time. The only difference is whether you are full-time with a job or you're full-time not with a job. I guess everybody would know about this. Now, another thing I want to mention is that so we have two kinds of things, right? We have a building fund. Mm-hmm. We also have a general fund. And especially concerning first, I want everybody to know the building fund is only for building. Once you said this is for the building fund, then we have to put this money in the building fund, and that fund can only be used for the building. Either you purchase, either you build, that is from the building fund. We can never use the building fund for other things. So therefore, if anyone wants to put in the building fund, you have to be careful. Now, once you put the money in, it's only for the building, and especially sometimes in the past, certain ones who are involved with the finance told other churches,
the saints in other churches, oh, New York has a lot of money. Oh, in the building fund, they have so many millions, and so maybe you can talk to the elders there. No, don't ever say this. You have to be clear that the building fund here is for the building here. Okay, so this all, right. So therefore, right. You need to be all careful with what you say to other people, right? Now, then concerning the general fund, now concerning general fund, we very often receive money destination. Right. In other words, people specifically mention what will he spend this. Once you write down the destination, this is for what? Then we have to use this money for what you want us to do. And we cannot use the fund, that fund, against your will. We are very faithful on this.
Right.
Now, sometimes when you write something, you may think it's okay. You just write, and whether it's practical, whether it's not practical, you don't care. Don't do that. You have to be very careful. Once you write down, definitely we'll absolutely use that thing for what you said. We will never change to something else. So we advise you, if it is not really that simple, urgent, maybe you can say something. We preferred you have better fellowship with us first. Mm-hmm. And so if you fellowship with us, then we see there might be some problems, that might be some things will be not that practical. We can fellowship with you. Now, once you just donated to certain things you said, we have to do what you. For instance, you know that the 100 hours war in what is the country? I forgot. Iraq. Yeah. Right. You know that time, the United States sent a lot of soldiers to that area, and a certain sense out of their good heart, they have a specific destination. Oh, for those. Because they heard some of the American soldiers preach gospel to those Muslims. So they want to specifically for those American soldiers for that area. But now that area is over. So what should we do? We all know who put in the offering box today. We don't have those American soldiers there. So how shall we spend this money? So that gives us a lot of trouble. And also some other people. I just use this as one example. And therefore, so if you want to have some burden, to have some specific destination, and it's better, especially if amount is big, if your fellowship is us first, then we will always to use this money according to your will. So we take these things very seriously and very accurately. So I hope that you all be clear about this. Okay. Maybe I just say this much now. Now, we even in our account, we still have some of the I don't remember the name of that fund, but still put there for many years. We still know what to do.
Concerning designations, not only people make designations that may not be practical, like in this case. But we have some standing designations. We don't know what the designations were for. There's one for a full-timer, and then there's another expression, I forget. Spiritual full-time or something like that. We don't know how to apply that in a clear way. So it doesn't matter if when you make a designation, you use a whole sentence. It is better to be clear than not to be clear, and then the money is just laying there. We do have several of these things. But I just want to emphasize one point that Brother James mentioned, and that is concerning finances in the church here. We do have a legacy, and we are proud of such a legacy. We have never asked money from any church, any organization, any person. Actually, even when there was a need, our thought was, let the saints know and let the Lord meet the need through the saints. We didn't even beg to the saints. We just informed them. We just let them know. Maybe I just give you an example. When we purchased the Manhattan Hall, we had some negotiation. But what happened is that the seller wanted to get rid of the building. So in the end, the seller said, okay, I take your price, all cash. We had a small amount. Compared, we had a small amount in the building fund. So we let the saints know. And we put a big box this high. One day I was studying in the front room, and the brothers were counting the offerings. Would you believe I saw jewelry? I was so touched, I wanted to cry. These are the oldest saints. They don't have money, so they offer what is most precious to them. So I repeat, this is our legacy, that we would never, never depart from this. Now, there's a Christian organization, I won't tell you the name. This Christian organization calls me on the phone, sends me email. Once they talked on the phone to my wife promised to send them X amount every month. So every month we get the whatever the phrase is, supporter, whatever, every month we get a specific envelope for what we promised to do. But we get another envelope aside. That, when I see this, I want to throw up. Do we trust in the Lord or not? It's just that simple. If we trust in the Lord, we don't need to beg. We don't need to ask. We just trust in the Lord. And that is what honors the Lord. So, all of you who will be serving in the finances, you must abide by this legacy. You must honor this legacy. Never ask for money. But again, concerning designations, we must disperse the designations as they are made. We shouldn't interpret. We shouldn't think this or that. If we have a possibility, and sometimes we can find out who it is, we can go back to the donor and ask for clarification. But we must be very legal about dispersing designations. So we need to help the saints so they make the designations in a way that can be dispersed. So I encourage all of you, it will be your turn to continue the legacy, and that you could abide by this legacy. I think I'll stop here.
Yeah, so again, I want to repeat, both brothers have already said, but I want to give you Deuteronomy, repeat this again. The church in New York, we never ask money from other churches or from other any place.
Right.
We just pray to the Lord and just right. Let the Lord lead us.
Right.
And we went through the need a number of times, but eventually we call a special fellowship time and ask all of us, all the saints together, pray for this.
Right.
We need to pray.
Right.
But don't ask other people to give you the money. Okay. So then at the same time, personally, if you see certain saints really have the heart for the Lord, then you can personally share with them that so if you have the burden, you can offer to the Lord. And actually I have a number of such kind of experiences. For instance, when I was in Taiwan, I knew that time Taiwan's the economy was very terrible, and therefore we young people did not have money to preach the gospel and to even prepare some breakfast for those young people who clean up the windows. So when I came to the United States, I knew the need there, so I just sent a check to them. And after that time I was studying at University of Tennessee, then in the South. And one day when I walk in front of the foreign student advisor's room, all of a sudden he stopped me, "Hey, come back. I said, "Why?" But then he just gave me a check. And then he said, "You just signed a check and put in the bank." I said, who gave him to me? I don't. So then later, this foreign student advisor told me that there are two chemical companies, and because I was in the field, I even did not know that this company offered the funds for our department's students. And so then this foreign student advisor knew that term and my number is very good. So he gave that to me. I did not know. To me, this is the money fall down from the heaven. I even did not know they had this there. I did not apply. And just this foreign student advisor just gave me this money, and this money is much more than what I sent to Taipei. I only dare to say this here. I dare not to say this openly in the big meetings, because I read a few times on the newspaper that certain preachers gave similar testimony that so if you give, the Lord will give you more. And eventually the Lord did not give them more. Then that Christian sued this pastor that he's lying. So if you just because you hope the Lord give you more money, then you give some money, that means your heart is not pure.
Right.
Then the Lord will not give you.
Exactly.
So I don't have to give this kind of testimony openly outside. But here, you know, you will not sue me if you did not get the money. So, but my point is, especially with the young ones, and just personally, mm-hmm. and encourage them. Actually, to give is to really is a blessing.
Right.
And so, one day, even today, seemingly we did not get anything from the Lord in return. But in the eternity future, all these will be in the before the Lord's when he came back. So we don't need to worry about all these things. But then our heart is really loving the Lord, loving the church, are willing to give, and you will be blessed. The Lord will bless you. Right. But if your heart is not right, then so all these things will not help you at all. So in other words, concerning finance, mm-hmm. our young people also need to personally to see that to give is the blessing.
I'd like to add something. Yes, to give is a blessing. But again, when we have let the saints know there is a need, our understanding is not they will put in some money in the offering because we said so. Mm-hmm. Our understanding is they will go to the Lord mm-hmm. and have the Lord tell them what to do. And concerning young people, I would like to add that when the Lord tells you something, you don't argue. Mm-hmm. You just do what the Lord says.
Yeah.
And this is what the saints have done throughout the years. Mm-hmm. And this is what we all should do. Let the Lord tell us. It is true, I won't describe, but I also had an experience like Benjamin. I offered and I got more back. But I didn't offer because I expected to get more back, right? Because the Lord told me. It's just that simple. You know, the Christian life is simple, not complicated. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, anybody would like to say something? Or any point you didn't think it was clear or anything?
Brothers, I have a small question. In the case where you receive a designation that's not feasible to distribute, for example, the that saints who gave for the Gulf War, mm-hmm. and every year we saw special fund when we have the financial reporting. Is it fitting, or is it fitting to introduce maybe a resolution with the saints to see if that money can just go back?
I mean, that is why I mentioned this, actually, that particular point. I mean, some of these long-term suspended kind of designation which cannot be distributed, I think we should consider, we should review it from time to time. Mm-hmm. Actually, annual meeting is a time to review it, and then should find its relevance. Okay, so,
right.
So in that case, I don't really think it's too serious. I don't really think the I think the original intention is for the gospel, okay,
right.
And the gospel for the Middle East. So therefore, if there's any other channels which can be applied, I think that can be done. So I don't really think it is against the wish of the original giver. I think that the question is that we need to be transparent. I think that's very important, not to move arbitrarily some of the designations and using this because it wasn't so clearly specified. And I don't think it's that we've ever done that. Okay. So I think that is because sometimes there is the proper channels and so on. I mean, say, for example, in the past there were lots of burden, actually, which is a more relevant thing, is because the need in China. But the situation in China is now is very different. And so mm-hmm. in the past, when their brothers who came here, say, for example, Joseph's son came,
right.
We would ask him whether he knows of some situations that we could disperse that. which eventually becomes really not relevant anymore. The situation is completely changed. So then it can be probably used on for some of the students came from China, gospel preaching to them. So I think that there are relevant channels that such disbursement can be made. But the whole point is that I think that we must be transparent, we must be realistic, and we must be relevant. So sometimes if we know of the saints who made such designations, you can fellowship with them and even discuss with them, because sometimes, okay, let me put it in this way, because nowadays the traffic is much more than before, and also with the social media, and sometimes people hear about news and they immediately got the burden and they want to do something, which before this is well widely known. So therefore sometimes such things that need to be followed on and see how it can be properly distributed. So so I think this kind of situation may become more. This is my point. Okay, so long as I think we are faithful and transparent, and I think it should not be too much of a problem.
In the business meeting, you can see that every year we did send money to other churches. Mm-hmm. It is not that we don't want to support other, but we also know there are some churches and maybe some small churches and constantly want to ask for money that is not good for them. So then they just try to rely upon us and without pray and without getting to the Lord. So it is not that we are try to keep the money, but it's just for those churches' own benefit. So we hope that they will go to the Lord first, pray first, see how the Lord can do for them. Then if something really very urgent or really urgent need, we will at the right time, right place, to the right church, we will give to them. But just we don't want to some of the churches take this as a habit. That is not good for them. Yeah.
Anything else? Questions? Comments?
Anyone have any questions or any suggestions or what?
Brother James, in your handout, there's one point, either I did not pay attention what you say, or maybe you forgot to mention.
Mm-hmm.
That's about the increasing of the social welfare mentality.
Yes.
I don't know whether you touched that point or not.
No, yeah. I did not.
Oh, no.
Okay. But the point is this. The point is that I think there is a very strong
actually, this is a very, very important point, but I did not think today is the audience for me to expound on it. Yes, I'm greatly concerned about our younger generation because of the, how should I say? I think that the 20th century has a very profound effect on the human society. And started with, and I shared this on May the 2nd in New Jersey, started with the social gospel, and also then followed with the socialism and the communism. That has a profound effect in the whole world. Particularly, this has a very profound effect on our young people. And the young people, if you look at, this is why I'm greatly concerned, since this involves different
aspect of the burden, particularly the burden for Europe, and they did not realize actually the European young generation has been so profoundly affected by the socialism, and their whole now what happened is this. Okay, actually socialism based on their, it is a counterfeit of the true gospel. I mean, actually, God's purpose is to care for people. The care for people is the bedrock of God's of the burden of the gospel. And then, but the point is that the enemy uses it to turn around to draw out the worst of the human selfish, self-serving kind of thing. So therefore, okay. So therefore, the inference of the socialism actually has a much lasting effect on our young generation, and I don't think our young generation, our young people, is exempt from it. Which means that you see, the whole idea is about mortgaging the future and not worrying about the consequences, and so long as myself is taken care of. And you know, the whole point about the student loan problem that we're facing, and the whole future, mortgaging the future without considering, and it is all live for the present, for the self. And I think that effect is very profoundly influenced our younger generation. And I feel we cannot afford to strengthen that point. Therefore, any free lunch, anything that is socialistic, I believe that we must help them to I don't know how to how to describe this. I mean, if you look at the whole picture, the scene of Europe, the younger generation, the high unemployment rate, and their whole outlook about not willing to serve but want to get theirs share now, and this inference, I must tell you, as I observe, I think it's spreading. It is even spreading among our young people. Okay, and so therefore, I think those who serve, and particularly, you know, I mean, the let me give you a very simple example. Okay, let me give you a very simple example. In the past, you know, we have served so many years, so I can say so without any being, we're not cheap. We're never cheap. And we have devoted ourselves and have given the best to our younger generation. But I'm not sure we really have helped them. Okay, let me give you a very simple example. The during the Easter time, we always have this enlarged young people's conference and so on. And every year, well, you know, Frank, you should know that the hospitality has becoming more and more difficult. Now, of course, because nowadays the young people, they're more used to higher, better, you know, receiving, you know, you ask them to all sleep 10 in a room and very simple things. No, but do you realize, as I observe it, I think the younger generation, they appreciate it much more than what they have received. Than now. I think nowadays young people tend to be more taking everything for granted. I think it is this kind of a free lunch, this kind of a welfare mentality has strengthened this kind of atmosphere. This, I believe, is a European socialistic inference, welfare mentality. And I must say, I must tell you, as I observe it very objectively, I think partly is the serving one's fault. Because I think you serve them, you bribe them too much. Pardon me for saying that. Okay, let me give you a very simple example. I have served all my life, I can tell you. I have, even today, I still say it is more blessed to give than to receive. I'm still telling the older ones that it is the great joy that you, at your old age, like I myself, you can give out the blessings. Yes, I still believe that fully. But the point was that I realized, you know, at Denton House, we used to receive a whole lot. We receive a lot of people. And it used to be, okay, 10, 15 years ago, when they leave, when those sisters who serve, you know, at times we have received more than 100 at Denton House. So there was never a question about receiving. But I know those young ones, they would even stay for 2-3 days. They would get together. Well, you never know. I mean, you know, so we never look for anything. They would write a little note, say how much they appreciated the hospitality. That has disappeared. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. I don't need to say any more. Okay? We are never looking for them. Well, they would leave something. No. We would give them the best. We want to serve them. But they have an appreciation. They say, you know, Grandma Josephine, Grandma Esther, we love you. You prepare wonderful breakfast for us. And, you know, they would write some short notes to express their appreciation. When the Bible camp, they came, they have these crafts they used to make these little things and put it around. Not that we need any of it. No, we don't. But the point is that they don't do that anymore. This is the inference, okay? So when Sam, who you mentioned about, yes, I believe there is a kind of a tendency that this inference is creeping. Because this is very important. This is, I mean, after all, we are here to serve. We are here to serve people. And that legacy needs to be continued. Okay. That is why I put that point in, but I did not say too much because I thought, to you brothers, I don't need to say too much of it. But anyway, since you brought it up. Because I know this trend, to me, is not so good. I think somehow, how can we help to turn that trend around?
Can I have a question?
Yes.
Just mentioned if we have some big project, mm-hmm. that you need to hire some professional
yes.
designer or any contact.
Yes.
So that remind me of the management of the fund.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I see every year we have the financial meeting, and I see the increasing or decrease of the fund.
Uh-huh.
Actually, not that much.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So I'm wondering if it's possible to have some professional management of some fund at some low risk. I mean, not big risk. So uh-huh. we can have more profit, increasement of the fund,
uh-huh.
Reasonable increasement, like a 3-5% increasement uh-huh. every year. So. That's my, because I do have some funding for my retirement in my previous uh-huh. institute. I mean, uh-huh. I didn't do it anything.
Uh-huh.
Get some interest.
Uh-huh.
It's called a money market. Was that every year I get only very little? Return.
Mm-hmm.
And then someday I think I should put some investment.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know any investment. I just put it in some safely, very low risk.
Uh-huh.
Maybe stock or something.
Yeah.
And then I see. It remarkably, it changed a lot.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Now about 3 years, it increased
uh-huh.
by, 300%.
Uh-huh.
I am really surprised.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about investment.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I just
yeah.
asked.
Okay. I answer your question two parts, okay? The first part is that the management of the finance in the church is not a long-term investment. It is for the to meet the need. Of course, as brothers mentioned, that we have the general fund and the building fund, and the general fund is for day-to-day expenses, so that pretty much comes in and would go out. Even building fund usually is not parked for a long time because it is used to meet a particular need. Now, of course, if we're going to get a meeting hall, there's an encouragement, sharing the burden, so on. So therefore, the management of the funds is never a long-term matter. It is a short-term. Okay. Secondly, even if then you say, well, the building fund sometimes park there for a while. Yes, it does, mm-hmm. because you know you don't sort of get a building every year. Mm-hmm. But then we also need to protect. Again, I think the protect and the covering of those who serve, I think it's a very important matter. Whoever manages it, personally, if it's a personal fund, you can put in, well, I mean, you know, the risk and the return usually. You know, I mean, we have lots of experts on these kinds of matters. So it's not that we cannot find expert advice, but the point is, I think in order to help those, to protect those saints who serve. Okay, now, in fact, this is very interesting. So you brought up a point which I failed to mention. Actually, you know, the in our time, we are not like in George Mueller's time, okay? And particularly in the last decades, and the retirement, the 401k, and so on, and even including this 401k, there is the required minimum withdrawal thing, yeah. because now people live much longer.
Yeah.
So if you put in some extra because it's Social Security is not quite enough, and so on. But the point is, okay, the point is that if you reach 70 and a half. If you're reaching 70, that 401k and 403b and these kinds of things, you cannot withdraw without penalty before you are 59 and a half. I guess it's still the same, right?
Yeah.
And then, but you have to withdraw at 70 and a half. And if you don't, you can be penalized.
Yeah.
This is what they call the minimum required withdrawal. Okay, now, what is very interesting is this, as I must tell you, Sun Quan, and I have some friends, my contemporaries, they when they reach 70 and a half, they don't really need the money, but they were required to withdraw this minimum requirement. So what happened is they all go out to take a cruise. So they all went out cruising, and all those were because they were taking minimum requirement withdrawal. And so some of my friends and come and tell me, I said, so silly. I mean, you don't need to go out to, I mean, anyway. So you know what? Now let me tell you something. I didn't share it here in a way, but I didn't feel free to share. Actually, I thought when I reached 70 and a half, which was more than a dozen years ago, about a dozen years ago, I decided I was going to use that, give it to the full-timers educational fund, okay? And I did that myself, I mean, because that's an extra income, I don't need it, and so on. But I shared it with another place when I was visiting. And these brothers, you know, I mean, as it turned out, you know, it has a wonderful effect, I must tell you. So these brothers, they told me, they said, that's right, we don't need to go out for a cruise or take a special trip. And also, my children is enough. So in this one particular place, they started a fund for those who have reached 70 and a half, this minimum. And they actually started a fund to help all those younger children, I mean the children of the full-timers in that place. I thought that was actually wonderful. Okay, now you might say because, okay, whatever means you use, because you said, you know, you put it in money market and so on. But normally they have some professional like TIAA and these companies or Fidelity. These companies, they manage it for you. So anyway, you get this return, but you are not running the risk of doing it. You know, you worry about it and you don't need to have, so you personally don't have much need. And you can use it for some good thing, and you can even inspire others to do the same. So I thought that was actually quite good. I mean, but you see, today is not the same as in George Mueller's time. Okay, so today's time is money management is something which is, but I think it is as I based on those two answer. One is because the funds for the church should be in and out, should not be long-term investment in view. But even if you do, I think in order to protect and cover those who manage it, let them use the most conservative ways. Okay. Yeah. You want to say something, Isaac, because you are in this field.
I feel like you said the principle is sort of what you said in the beginning, right? The burden is our burden, or we're stewards.
Mm-hmm.
That's the word that really touched me.
Yeah.
And we're stewards, servants of the mystery of God and the mystery of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to be the principle.
Yeah.
To me, anyway, the view that you need to have in it, touching any of even these practical things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very different than the view in the world, or that's very different than the view in you know, any kind of a business setting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what your brother shared really touched me is just this matter that even that, really, this is, you use the word privilege, but it's also responsibility,
mm-hmm.
right? There's a real responsibility mm-hmm. to the saints
mm-hmm.
who worked very hard and diligently
mm-hmm.
and offered.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, my feeling is it needs to kind of be handled in a very, with that kind of view, in a very careful and a very deliberate way.
Mm-hmm.
And we also don't know the situation and the need, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that can change quickly.
Yeah.
You know, even the Manhattan Hall, we thought it was probably going to be sold, and
mm-hmm.
now, at least for now, it's
mm-hmm.
not. And
mm-hmm.
So we,
mm-hmm.
you know. Anyway, I don't feel like I have a lot to add other than
mm-hmm.
that. I feel like this is the view we have to have, not just the
mm-hmm.
how do we. Of course, we want to be prudent stewards,
mm-hmm.
but this is a very different view than handling something in.
Mm-hmm.
For a business or worldly setting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I had a quick question. You mentioned a couple of things about being very careful with your time, but not to waste it, basically, I think is what you're saying. But at the same time, that we're not cheap. Recently, a discussion came up just about doing some little things around the hall, and the question about, you know, what kind of little things we could do. What are some principles around knowing when we're crossing the line either way? Could you share any kind of principles over the years that you've seen? I mean, do we rewash the red Solo cups, or do we, like, you know, there's different degrees of on that spectrum, and how to, like, for sprucing up the space, just, you know, what are your thoughts on that kind of thing?
Well, you know, my feeling is that we should always treat the church as our own home.
Mm-hmm.
And if something you would like to, because this is, we spend lots of time in, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's where we spend our life there, okay?
Yeah.
So therefore, if you would do this in your own home, you should at least do that much
mm-hmm.
for the church properties and when you're with the saints.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
If you think that, I mean, in other words, what you do, I believe, when you do a home, you know, any responsible home owner or householder, they would do things with priority, with efficiency, and reason, with taste. I mean, lots of things. And I think you should at least do that much. But, I mean, you know what Brother Benjamin mentioned earlier? Say, oh, well, because it's a church money, so therefore I can do it differently. I mean, I think that's the kind of attitude we
right.
always have kept away from.
Right.
I mean, we are always more careful. I mean, we're careful with what we are in our own home, and then we are more careful. Because this is for a bigger picture, for a bigger house. Okay, so I think therefore, to what degree, how you do it, I think depending on the situation. So,
and depend on the need.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Regarding this point about a few weeks ago, we also
fellowship with some brothers, we feel that the church-owned building will be more and more.
Yes.
So we have to monitor the expense.
Yes.
Let's say the AC, the heat.
Yes, okay. Yes.
We will never run the AC the whole day. We go to work. Okay, all the heat running
yes.
the whole day.
Yeah.
So if that's the very humid summertime or the winter time, you run the whole day, that will cost a lot. So we would divide this way, but who is taking care of this? Which
yeah.
is probably that's one issue. That's
yes.
one. Another
yes.
issue is that I take up the church supply for probably more than 10 years.
Uh-huh.
And when I go to the warehouse, they say the disposable.
Uh-huh.
I will not pick up the higher price.
Uh-huh.
The disposable is disposable.
Uh-huh.
Use one time, you get rid of it.
Uh-huh.
So I will get the cheaper price. Yeah, because that's disposable.
Mm-hmm.
If that is the durable, had to put in the manual for a long time, I will get the better price.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
better quality.
The good quality.
Yeah, yeah.
That can last longer.
Yeah.
That have to be replaced from time to time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would, you know, depend on case by case.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
I think I'd like to share a few things. First of all, this brother just said that he, in 3 years,
uh-huh.
they give him 300%.
Uh-huh.
If I were him, I would definitely not go along with that kind of people. Because that is not... It could be another... Ponzi scheme.
Ponzi scheme.
Yeah. 3 years is 300%. What we have here, as the stewards of the church,
mm-hmm.
financial affair, we have to be prudent. Prudency is very important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we might say this and that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he did. Okay, I don't know. But the church. Finance, I have a record here. It's not 300%.
Right.
Okay. But in 1 year we have appreciated $1 million. When I in charge this financial, when they assign me in charge this financial business from 2005, we have less than $1 million in our hand. Okay. In 2003, we spent a lot of money for Manhattan to accumulate. The record show we have less than $1 million. Now we have about $5.5 million. A lot of that money is from the saints donation.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them is from appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm not trying to defend myself. Don't make a
right.
mistake. Don't
right.
make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that this is prudency is very important.
Mm-hmm.
We are the stewards of the church financial affairs. And I'm pretty sure that brother called for this about 30 people is because they believe we are behalf of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
we are trustworthy, mm-hmm. and we are prudent.
Mm-hmm.
So they did not emphasize, I think, 3 points,
mm-hmm.
Very important,
mm-hmm.
because they assume we all are in good shape, really like.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't believe so.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them couldn't even take care of their own personal finance.
Mm-hmm.
The important thing, I think, first of all, prudency. Mm-hmm. Second of all, righteousness. The third mm-hmm. of all, faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
When the spiritual affair, we need to, the Lord, you know, to see brothers, give us a lot of spiritual guidance. And the Putamas too. But seems nobody give us any guidance on how to treat the church affair. I mean, the financial affair. Okay. And I think this meeting, the purpose of this meeting is try to emphasize how could we be a faithful steward? Mm-hmm. Not just managing a special your personal faith, because this is talk about the church. Mm-hmm. Now, the Lord said that if you are not faithful in the small things, mm-hmm. you cannot be faithful in the big things. This church financial affair is a small thing. The big things the Lord wants to keep us in the future. That, I think, this point has been stuck in our head. If we are going to do the church financial or maybe building affair, prudency is very important. You could think you can do it, but you are not. You does not have the ability. One time when my older sister passed away, and I say something, she tried her best to manage in the family affair. Mm-hmm. Take care of this, but she does not have the capacity. And that she was miserable. And we have so many people here. Mm-hmm. That could take care of it. And we have to humble ourselves, seek the guidance from the others, and do all together as one accord. One accord. Now, the righteousness is also very important. No matter, you know that the unrighteous stewards in Luke 16, about the emergency. No matter what you do, his house for himself. Okay. He was prudent to do trick, okay? But he was unrighteousness. No matter what, he was still unrighteousness. The Lord does not praise him unrighteousness. He just say that he was prudent to do something for himself. But that is not what we want here. We want is when something say, you know, we sometimes say, oh, the church is rich, okay, we could do this and that. Yeah. But not is not the prudent or righteousness. So I think I want to draw this tree up to this tree character, I think. Should stick in our minds. Do you know who was hanging Jesus' earth? The 12 apostles, Judah. Right? May we not on the Judah. Anyone, sometimes the Lord trusts us, so we should be very careful, very fearful. Because if you are not faithful and then you say, oh, I can do anything, and that's a big mistake. Sometimes, especially you think the purse was given to Judah. Mm-hmm. Basically, I always remind myself, when the three elders, the purse given to me, I was very fearful. Hopefully, they seem to really trust me, and I think I got to go through it very carefully. And that's the thing I want to strike you, 27 or something. My. Okay, that's my shot.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lord, how we praise and thank you.
Amen.
Thank you for the legacy that you have left us with.
Amen.
Pray that we would continue this legacy.
Amen.
Thank you for the faithful giving of all the
saints. Amen.
Pray that we would care for them.
Amen.
Minister them in the best way.
Amen.
Oh, we want to be the faithful stewards in your house.
Amen.
Strengthen us.
Amen.
Grace us and supply us.
Amen.
Serve together.
Amen.
Oh, and gain more of us as we go on together.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
We love you.
Amen.
Thank you for the fellowship today.
Amen.
Be the faithful steward.
Right. Amen.
The faithful and prudent slave.
Amen.
The real house.
Amen.
Given the food at the proper time.
Amen.
We don't want to waste it.
Amen.
We don't want to abuse your fund.
Amen.
We appreciate what you have given to us.
Amen. Use
in the proper way.
Amen.
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 Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus.
Well, thank you. We have the honor to
Amen.
Serve you.
Amen.
Lord, we pray that we would be faithful
Amen.
In our service.
Amen.
Lord, we love you.
Amen.
Thank you for the legacy that is being passed to us.
Amen.
Lord, we pray that we would be able to keep it.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, you're the faithful one in us.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, to set the faithful and prudent patterns.
Amen.
The pathway is clear.
Amen.
Take the brothers to follow in a prudent way.
Amen.
In a wise way.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Continuation
Amen.
Of the legacy.
Amen.
The legacy was established.
Yes.
Amen. It will be continued.
Amen.
Trust the faith.
Amen.
The prudency.
Amen.
Into the brothers.
Amen.
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 Yes. Thank you for the legacy that has been built up, Lord.
Amen.
All of these years.
Yes.
For the many lessons learned.
Amen.
And we do pray for the going on.
Amen.
We do believe that this faithfulness,
yes.
all of this has served as such a base.
Amen.
For the blessing of the church here.
Yes.
Even the great confidence that the saints have
yes.
in the church,
Amen.
In the management of the finances.
Amen.
We pray this would go on.
Amen.
Lord, we just thank you.
Amen.
You for what you have given the church here.
Amen.
We pray that this could be carried on in such a holy way.
Amen.
In a faithful way.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Thank you for the carrying on.
Amen.
Lord, it's such a holy and faithful
right.
Amen.
With the prudence, Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Thank you for your speaking this morning.
Amen.
Oh, even thank you for the legacy.
Yes.
Amen.
We humble ourselves before you.
Amen.
Oh, to take the church in New York City.
Amen.
Lord, we give ourselves to you for the.
Amen. We give ourselves to you.
Amen.
As faithful steward. Amen.
Lord,
to
serve you, serve the church.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You for the great blessing to the church in New York City.
Amen.
Continue to bless us.
Amen.
Lord, we thank Amen. You for your speaking.
Amen.
Your faithful speaking.
Amen.
Thank you that, oh, you are the head.
Amen.
Oh, thank you that,
Amen.
Oh, we are all stewards.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
I pray that each one of us will take you as our head.
Amen.
Lord, produce us faithful.
Amen.
Oh, we thank you for the legacy that you have given to us.
Amen.
Lord, we pray that this legacy would go on.
Amen.
In a holy and a righteous way.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, well, we can pray the legacy will continue.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh,
Amen.
Such a blessing.
Amen.
The church here.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, that the saints
Lord
will continue.
Jesus.
They have the full confidence.
Amen.
Oh, in the serving one.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, that your testimony can be strengthened.
Amen.
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 For this legacy.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You for this pattern.
Amen.
Lord, blessing the church all these years.
Amen.
May for a good continuation.
Amen.
Lord, raise many faithful stewards.
Right.
Amen. Over your house.
Amen.
Lord, the body of Christ.
Amen.
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 Lord Jesus.
Thank you for this legacy.
Amen.
Thank you for this pattern of the faithful servants.
Amen.
We want to give ourselves to you.
Amen.
We want to be a faithful
Amen.
Servant.
Amen.
Practice notice this legacy in our church life.
Amen.
In our services. Right. Oh, Lord, just take us on.
Amen.
Thanks for your enlargement and expansion.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen.